Hello and welcome to Word Perfect. You're listening to Siren Radio. My name's Steve Court, and we're going to be joined today by the incredible Jim Bates, all the way from the US of A. Great to have you on the show again, Jim. Nice to have a returning guest. So welcome to our show.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's great to be back.
It's looking forward to a chat to you today. So those of you who remember Jim from last time will know that we discussed his previous release through Inspired and Periodic Stories. And we're ready today to talk to Jim about the release of the sequel or volume two of the book. And but for those people at home who are not familiar with yourself, Jim, just give us a little bit of a who are you? Where are you from?
Well, my name is Jim Bates, and I live in a small town about 20 miles west of Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've written off and on my whole life, but I've only dedicated myself to writing since 2011, and seriously since 2015, when I started to write stories and put them in a blog. I submitted my first story in 2018. That was accepted for online publication on a blog, and I've just kept writing since then. Since 2018, I've had over 300 stories that have been either published in volumes, anthologies, or online. And it's just, I'm just real excited. And working with Steve, I've got two incredible anthologies that we've come up with. So I'm really happy to talk about those.
Fantastic. Yeah. And they are brilliant books as well. So the books we're referring to there are Periodic Stories. Tell us a little bit about Periodic Stories. What are they?
You know, I have a background in science. I graduated many, many years ago with a background in environmental studies, they called it back then. And I've just, you know, been a bird watcher and like nature and all that stuff all my whole life. And I started to think last year at the end of the year as far as like prompting myself for a different, I should say probably a different train of thought for my stories. And I thought maybe I could like work some science stuff into it. And in my mind, as soon as I thought that, I had the periodic chart, you know, from, I remember from school, the periodic chart came up into my brain. And I thought, you know, let's take a look at those elements and see if I can use those as prompts. And the first element was, you know, hydrogen. And as soon as I saw it, I went, oh my God, I can do something with this. And then helium and lithium and everything. So the stories just came into my brain and I just started writing them. And what I wanted to challenge myself to do was to write them at 500 words each. So just short flash fiction kind of things. Well, that didn't work because I wanted to say more than 500 words. So I went up to 1,000. So the first volume of Periodic Stories is 32, the first 32 elements of the periodic chart, periodic table, and average about 1,000 words each. And that was great. And, you know, Steve loved the idea of that. And I thank you so much for that, Steve. And we got it published and put it out there. And I've had some really, really nice, heartfelt reviews on that, all the way from God, this reminds me of science back when I was a kid, to one person that said it was the best collection of short stories that she had ever read, which is just so amazingly touching. So I thought, well, you know, let's take a look at the next 30 elements. And let me tell you, as you get into the periodic table, the higher the elements get, the more, shall we say, esoteric they kind of get. I mean, you don't, germanium. I mean, who's heard of that? And I'm looking here, niobium, molybdenum. And I'm going, I had a book, and actually an old book that I referred to, and it was called 32nd Elements. And what it is it just talks about each of the elements in a real brief fashion. So I went back to that. I'd used it in the first volume, and I went back to that, and I started reading more and more. And I went, "Oh God, this is working out well." I could visualize those first stories, but they were longer. And so the second volume is like twice as long, same amount of stories, but it's twice as long because I said to myself, "I'm just going to kind of let the story tell itself," and that's what I did. And whereas the first volume is, you know, average 1,000 words. the second volume actually starts at, I think, about 1500 and just goes. And my last couple of stories are actually 5,000 words. And actually, when I submitted it, you know, to you, Steve, I thought, you know, he's going to want to do this in two volumes. It's just too long. But you didn't. And we put it out there, and it's just incredible. I'm really looking forward to our launch. I think it's going to be at the end of this year, but or at the end of this month. But yeah, writing the stories was great. It was just a lot of fun. So again, thank you so much, Steve, for going ahead and publishing this one.
No, it's my pleasure. It's great. But I think we should point out at this point as well that for as much as the sort of the periodic table and the elements form kind of the inspiration for the book, it's not a science book.
It's not.
The stories are not science-based. They just use the element as sort of a springboard or a catalyst or a, you know, a jumping-off point. And then the actual story itself is sort of loosely
tied into that.
Yeah,
you know, if I could piggyback on that, that is pretty funny, pretty interesting, because and funny, but I had a friend that PC Darkcliff that helped me with the editing on this, and one of the latter stories was barium, and he goes, you know, I had to go back and check, where did barium show up in this story? Well, this was one of those 5,000 word ones. And it showed up in the very beginning. The guy had a test and not a good test, and decided to go on a trip with his brother, kind of a life-changing event there. But Steve is exactly correct. These are stories that are using science and the elements as a jumping off point. But really, they're like most of my stories are, and they're humanistic based. People dealing with issues that are basically common to all of us, and how they resolve or don't resolve those issues, and the ramifications because of that, the decisions that they make. So I'm glad you pointed that out, Steve.
Yeah, and it is a very, very interesting collection of stories in both volumes, both the first book and the second book, that they are exactly what you said there in terms of just being about sort of human interest. It's about the human condition and how we process the world around us and process the sort of the situations we find ourselves in. But it's very relatable, even though you're writing from what I would imagine is 2,500-3,000 miles away from me, those stories are still very, very relatable to, you know, the lives that we live over in the UK as well. So although the locations might vary, that element of being human and just how we deal with our problems and life's issues, I think is a very universal thing that you've tapped into.
Yep, I really appreciate you pointing that out. And that's what the person who liked the first volume so much said. She said that it just, you know, it just touched her heart. She cried. And it just, it moved me too, because as a writer, when you're writing, you're just trying to express yourself in the most sincere way possible. At least I do. And to see that it touched her in that way was magnificent, actually, and it made the whole process worthwhile as far as I was concerned.
No, it really is an excellent collection of stories. So if you are interested in short stories and you want to get yourself a collection, a copy of this collection, you can get them from or you can find access to them from two places. So you can go straight to the impspired.com website. If you go to the Impspired Authors section, you'll find all the links you need there. You just look for Jim's name, find Jim Bates, and there will be the books that he's got with all the links you need to go and get them. Or you can go straight to Amazon, wherever you are in the world, and it will be available on your local Amazon page. So the official launch date for the book is the 29th of August. So we're, depending on when this actually airs live on the radio, we may or may not have already released. And if you listen to us on the podcast, who knows? Because who knows when you're listening to us? That's the beauty of modern radio, is we're available for all time forever. This could now be 3 years after the launch, or we could be 3 days before it. Who knows? But no, it is a fantastic set of stories. And I mean, you've talked there about the fact that it was the first 30 elements in the first book and then the second 30 elements in the second book. Does that mean there's another book to come?
You know, I definitely, Steve, I will actually be doing this. And the thing is that I'm thinking about it right now. The last story in volume two, again, were some of these real esoteric elements, and I blended them all together into, I think it was the last six elements. And I blended them all together in one story and used that a young guy in high school science class is sort of an introverted person, but he just loves science. And his science teacher has asked all of the students in the class to do a report on stories in the on elements in the periodic chart. And he picks these seven elements, which are called rare earth elements. And he's practicing giving his report to his mom, and his mom just loves it. And I thought, you know, and that made him feel good. It kind of brought him out of his shell, and he was looking forward to giving this report the next week to his science class. And I thought, you know, maybe this is a way I could go with the volume three, is taking it out of just, you know, one particular story for each element. Maybe blending it together in sort of a bookish kind of form, like a novella kind of a deal, where all the elements are touched on. And there's a science teacher, but it would mainly be driven by the kids in the class and how they were feeling about science and learning about science, et cetera. Because actually, at one point in my life, I was a substitute teacher and I taught science for a while down in near Chicago, Illinois. So I've got that. I always have that in my brain when I'm talking about these kinds of science issues in terms of teaching and helping kids relate to it and stuff. So I'm definitely going to write a third one. I'm just not quite sure how the format's going to be, but yeah, stay tuned.
No, that sounds brilliant. I mean, there's some great books out there where they take those sort of seemingly separate items and manage to sort of weave them together into sort of a narrative that goes into one book. In fact, we were talking a few weeks ago to a fantastic Welsh writer called Rhys Hughes. And he had, and I may well now completely botch quoting the names of his books, so I apologize for that in advance. But he had one book which I think was called My Rabbit Looks Like a Shadow Hand, or something along those lines. And the element was, if you think about when we make rabbits with our hands in the light, with using our fingers. It was right around in that his rabbit, oh, my rabbit's shadow looks like a hand. I think that's what it was. And it was that his rabbit's shadow cast on the wall was the reverse of that and looked like a human hand. And he goes every night, he puts a pen in the hand of this shadow on the wall and a piece of paper near it, and then wakes up in the morning and the shadow hand has written a story. And so this kind of wove together these random sort of short stories that he had, became fictionally written by the shadow hand on the wall, and the shadow hand tied these stories now together. So it was quite a nice hooked way of taking something separate and making it into one cohesive story.
You know, that's absolutely brilliant. And I'm so happy to hear that, because that's, I think, part of the joy of, you know, writing, is not only as a writer myself, but to hear what other people come up with in terms of their creativity. It's just amazing. And I'm definitely going to check that book out. That just sounds like an awesome book, actually.
Yeah, he's a fantastic writer. I tell you, he's the master of wordplay as well. He will. He's just brought out a book called Bunny Q and Others. And it's a selection of poetry, but each poem is basically just a play on words in a way that is just so clever. But yet so simple. Yeah. When you read it, you just think, oh my God, how would I not make that connection myself? But he's just a very good writer. Because he'd done the My Rabbit Shadow Looks Like a Hand. And then he did another book, which again, I don't know the title to this one, but it was another collection where he'd taken a selection of short stories. And they were all written about a character, but this character was slightly different in each of the stories. So he wove it together by the book being a university lecturer asking his students to write him an essay about what they thought he did in his spare time. So each of the stories is then each individual student in his class's interpretation of what they think his professor would be like. And by the end of the book, you realize they were all right in some elements, but slightly in others. So you just end up with these 18 different stories about a seemingly different character that's actually all the same person. And again, it takes that stuff together. And so I think that concept that you want to do something similar with periodic stories is actually quite exciting, that you could take the remaining elements and sort of hide them from us within a story.
Well, now you've actually made me help clarify this, just listening to you talking about Rhys. And I just And that's a part of the exciting thing about writing and creating. As one of my other friends said, you know, you're creating something out of nothing. And that's just, you know, you sit there and you look at a year ago, they didn't exist. You know, I mean, I just basically came up with the idea in November of last year, and here we are. You know, and it's just so cool. And I'm just so happy to have these and really mainly, you know, kind of for myself that, yes, it's cool that they're out there, and I appreciate your publishing them so much, but also that they're giving people, you know, some joy and happiness when they're reading them. I mean, that's an entertainment value. I mean, that's really the whole point of it, as far as I'm concerned.
No, that's it is brilliant. And the feedback you've got is exceptional, which is, you know, is always a very nice place to be when you're getting that positive affirmation exactly. That what you're doing isn't just you frittering away your time. You are actually producing something meaningful as well. And it brings us to a point where we're going to take a quick musical break now. And then when we come back, we're going to speak to Jim a little bit more about the books that he's got coming out. But also, he's been a very, very productive writer over this last year. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about some of the other titles he's got available as well. So here's a quick musical break, and we'll see you again soon.
Possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Welcome back to Word Perfect. You're listening to Siren Radio. My name's Steve Court, and we're joined today by Jim Bates.
Hello.
And we were talking to him before the break there about his two books that have come out through Inspired, which is the Periodic Stories and Periodic Stories Volume 2, which is due for release on the 29th of August. So we were talking there, but I also mentioned before we went for the break there, Jim, that you've been a very, very busy writer in general, because these are not the only two books you've had out in this last sort of year, are they?
That's correct. Yep. Yep. You want me to talk about some of the other ones?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let us know what else is out there.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I had mentioned before, I started really writing short stories in 2015. Up until then, I had written poetry for a number of years. And in 2015, when I started writing my short stories, they were really, really long. Average 12,000 words. I put them on a blog. I had like two or three people that, you know, toughed it out and read them and liked them. And one of my friends that liked them said, you know, what you should do is you should cut these down a little bit and start submitting them online to different publications. And he gave me a couple of examples. And I had that in mind then. So in 2015, I started to, in 2018, I started to kind of write shorter stories, let's put it that way. And as I was writing them, first of all, it didn't take a month. I could crank them out pretty fast. I liked them and I started sending them out for submission. And this was in March of 2018, was when my first one was accepted by Cafe Lit in Jill James. And she became a real strong advocate of my earlier stories, and so much so that she offered to do a collection of them. So in that first year, I put together a collection of around 30 stories, and sent it in. And she said, "Yep, we'll do it. We'll go ahead and publish this." Well, she's real busy, and it took a while to get that done. But the end result of that first collection of stories was my first collection called Resilience through Bridge House Publishing. And, you know, that one I think will probably always be in one way just my favorite, because it's some of those older first stories that I just loved. And I can still look at them and I can go, the first one is just one that I've just always enjoyed and appreciated. So there's a nice memory and history of those. And that was, I submitted it, I think in 2000, maybe 19, but it didn't come out until February of this year. So that was, you know, like it took a while, COVID added into it. But that first collection came out here in February. Then shows you the difference in the publishing world. Remember, Steve, I, you know, queried you. You were interested. I sent you, you know, those 32 periodic stories for the first volume, and you said yes. And I mean, like within 3 months, it was from a query to I'm holding the book in my hand. So that was, I mean, that was just amazing. So all of a sudden, and that was in March, and all of a sudden, in 1 month, I have a book out. Next month I have a book out, I'm going, jeepers. So in the meantime, I'd had sent a query out for a novella that I had written called Something Better. And it was picked up by Dark Myth Publishing. And again, a very fast turnaround time. And they put it out when they contacted me, they wanted to put it out in July of this year. And that was in June. And I went, sure, I can do this. So I just put it together, put my stories. I had the stories all set, put together, and gave it to them, did some editing, boom, July, third book out, which is my novella, Something Better. So I'm going, what the heck? So here's a guy who his whole life has wanted to be a writer, you know, did my writing, started just happy that people were actually accepting my submissions when I sent them out. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting here at my desk, and I've got three books in July. And then you and I are touching base with Periodic Stories 2, and we get that out. And I, you know, for the people listening, I bought it from Amazon just, you know, 2 weeks ago, and took a picture of myself and put it up on Facebook and sent it to Steve, which he never saw. But, you know, there you are in July of this year, and I've got now four books out. And along with all of this, remember back in the beginning with Resilience, my first book, and Jill James, she also runs another publishing house called Chapeltown Books, and she publishes what I call flash fiction and drabbles, shorter works. And so about a year ago, I sent her a collection of those, which she accepted, which just came out like a couple of weeks ago and is now available as well. So I've got, you know, the two periodic stories, volumes 1 and 2 from you. I've got Resilience, my first one, Something Better, the novella, and now this Drabbles and Flash Fiction, which I called ironically Short Stuff, which just came out like a couple of weeks ago. So right now I'm sitting here on my desk. I've got five books, all with my name on it, and I'm just blown away. I never expected it. I consider myself seriously one of the luckiest people in the world that I've had this kind of good fortune to meet. Not only to be able to get the writing done, get it out there, but to meet so many great publishers like you, Steve, and like Jill James and Dark Myth Publishing with Stephanie and David. And it's just amazing, actually. So I'm going to thank you for that. Thank you very much.
it's a pleasure to be part of your success story, but it is definitely down to your dedication and things. I mean, if you've got people sitting at home now who are thinking, actually, you know, I've been writing for a few years now, I've got quite a lot of stuff together, what would your advice be in terms of how to go about approaching those publishers? Because I would imagine there's been a difference between myself and the other two in terms of how we work and how we contact and communicate and things like that. So what would your advice be to people?
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, I would love to say there's a magic formula to this, but why did I send my work to you? I sent my work to you because through one of my writer groups on Facebook, somebody had posted a story saying, you know, my story right now is up through Imspird, and, you know, and I liked the person who did the writing. So I checked the story out, and because of that, I was able to follow the thread back to you, Steve, and I submitted one or two stories which you liked right away. So that, first of all, basically I was sending you some stories to see if you liked my work, and you did. So I remember then querying you on if you'd be interested in doing a collection, and you were interested in that. So first step is, you know, send your work out to see if they like it. Now, here's something that's real interesting. I send a lot of stories out that most people that I know probably wouldn't like because I'm sending them to a place called the Terror House, T-E-R-R-O-W House. So you can, the name pretty much says it. It's just what I call weird, off the wall stuff. You know, they're usually not a happy ending, but it's just challenging myself to write in a different format. Well, the person I send to there likes my work. And I've sent a lot of stuff there. And so because of that, I asked that person if Matt is his name. I asked Matt if he'd be interested in submitting, publishing a collection of stories. And he said, sure. What do you have in mind? And I said, basically every story that you published of mine, plus a couple of others. So I sent him what I had in my mind, and he accepted it. So the message is, send your work out, find people who are appreciative and like your work. And then if those people are publishers, query them as far as getting your work done. I'm not sure if I were to pick somebody who's never heard of me before and sent out a query, you know, I would put that way down on the, you know, luck category, 5%, maybe, you know, if they chose me, I'd be lucky, but it's having some kind of a relationship, you know what I mean, with you and the publisher is, I think, crucial, which is what Jill James and I had, and which is what I had with Stephanie and David with my novella, Something Better, in Dark Myth Publishing. See, I knew these people, and so there's a nice symbiotic relationship with them.
And I think
I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Oops, sorry.
Does that answer your question as far
Absolutely,
as?
yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that idea that it's not as simple as just saying, I've done lots of writing, so I'm going to just fire it at publishers. It is very much about building that relationship and letting them get to know you a little bit first. So there are names that appear in my email box now with submissions for Inspired. And I almost know before I open it what I'm going to receive. I know because I now know that they've submitted three or four times to me. I know the quality of what I've had in the three or four previous ones. So
yeah.
I'm kind of anticipating that it's going to be good. I'm going to
yeah.
what I open before I even open it. So
yeah.
those people now, if they were to turn around to me and say, I've got a collection that I'd like to bring out a book for, even before I've seen it, yes, I'm interested. Because I know from that past history exactly what quality to expect. But if they were a name I'd not heard of, I'd want to see the book first.
Right. Well, let me piggyback on that, because when I sent you Periodic Stories Volume 2, I was completely prepared for you to say, no, I think we've done enough. So when you said your words were absolutely with an exclamation point, I went, my heart just raced. I went, oh my God, he does want to do it, you know? Because the other side of the coin on this is, you know, we mention it every now and then, but the fact is that, you know, there's a lot of stuff I send out that gets rejected. So the part of it is too, is finding the people, publisher, sites that you send work into that likes your work. Cause there's millions of people sending stuff out. So that's part of the process too, is to kind of weed from a writer standpoint, weed out the sites and the publishers that aren't interested in your work, and try to find people like yourself, for me, who is interested and willing to take the next step with you. That's a big, big, big part of it.
Absolutely. No, I think that's great. And I think that, you know, the fact that you are sort of the living embodiment of how that process has worked and worked to your benefit, to go, if we go back sort of 12 months, you're someone who's been writing for a few years with no books to where you're sitting
yep.
today is an entirely different place. And that has all come from people that you have, you've done the hard miles, you've done the hard yards of submitting and going through that process and being mm-hmm. posted online. And now you're at the point where when you have full collections ready to publish, there is somebody out there who is wanting to listen. So that's great for people at home. So we've talked there about obviously the two Periodic Stories volumes. So if you want to get yourself a copy of those books, you can go to Amazon or you can go to inspired.com and you will find all the information you need on the website there. If people wanted to get hold of yourself, what would be the best way for them to find you if they were looking for some of the other titles of yours?
Well, I would go to my website, actually. Can I give that right now?
Absolutely, yes, please do.
That's www.theviewfromlonglake.com. That's where I live, actually, in Long Lake, Minnesota. And you can also go to Facebook. You know, you can find me on Facebook up there. And I post all of my my writings, if you will, or links to my writing on Facebook, and you can track me down that way.
Incredible. So there's lots of sort of back catalog stuff for you to go and look at for Jim already, but what does the future hold? What's next for you?
Okay, so right now, since we're talking, now I'm thinking about Periodic Stories in Volume 3. So we'll be working on that for sure. You know, as a writer, you just, for me anyway, I just like the challenges of certain things. And so last year, I remember reading about this thing. It was called the OCC. It's called the Open Contract Challenge. And it was, I think, through World of Myth magazine and a place where I submit. And I was just kind of like curious about that. Well, it turns out that it's a yearly, if you will, contest. The end result of the contest, if you're chosen, is to publish a book, actually. So I went, well, you know, it's me. I just went, this year when that came up again, I went, so I think I'm going to do this, actually. Excuse me. And so the first thing is you send in a pitch for a story, and then this, that, and if you're chosen, then you move on to the next step and everything. So I had an idea, kind of like you and I were just talking about, but different. And I thought, well, I'll just pitch this idea. Well, they liked it. And then they said, write a little blurb about your vision of this thing. So I did that. And I was selected for that too. So I'm kind of moving through the process and get weeded and making the steps to move forward. Others are getting weeded out. So the third step is to write a synopsis of the story that you're thinking about, which many people might be able to do this. But since I really didn't have an idea of where my story was going to eventually, I knew where it was going to end, but didn't know I was going to get there. So for like the last month, I've just been furiously writing a long, long, rough draft of this story, if it were ever chosen, just so I could write a 500 to 800 page synopsis, which is what I'm doing right now. I have to send it in like 2 days. But the point is I just love this story, and I think it's going to be a long novella. And that's really what I'm working on now. So I'm not doing any short stories at the moment. I'm just working on this longer novella here. And if I win this contest, fine. And if not, I'm just going to write it up really good and send it out and see if I can find somebody who might like it, actually. So that's what I'm doing. You know, my brother said to me once, he said, you know, writing is your job, Jim. And I went, you know what? He's kind of right, because I do write every day, and it's not something that I force myself to. I want to do it, and sometimes I just get mad that I don't have enough time to do it as I want to. So, you know, that's part of the process too. It's just that I'm dedicated to not only doing the best I can, but to work at it really every day and to do the best I can with that.
No, that sounds good. Well, I mean, it's good to hear that you've got plenty on your plate to keep you busy and keep you writing, so that we can all enjoy the fruits of your labor at some point in the future.
But I appreciate that.
It does bring us sadly to the end of our program today. So I just want to say a big thank you, Jim, for your time. It's been great to speak to you again.
Thank you, Steve, for having me. It's just, I can't tell you how much I appreciate, you know, the support that you've given me. And, you know, it's nice to know too, as a writer, that not only do I have the two books that you published for me, I'm sitting here looking at them right now, but that, it, you know, the occasional short story that I write in, and the viewers, the listeners should know this too, is that, you know, when you get accepted by Steve, it's a cool experience, because he doesn't accept everybody. And I'm just always proud to have a story accepted by you. So again, I really appreciate everything and all of your support.
Thank you. Thank you for the comments there, Jim. It's much appreciated. But and again, good luck with the competition. Keep us posted on that, and we'll share your news around on our social media bits as well. If people are interested in getting hold of Jim's book for one more time, then you can go to wherever you are in the world. You can go to Amazon and you'll find periodic stories on there. Look for Jim Bates. Or you can go to Impspired.com and go to the Impspired Authors section, and you'll find again the information that you need to be able to get yourselves a copy. Great to speak to you, Jim. Best of luck for everything in the future. But unfortunately, that is the end of Word Perfect for this week. So join us again next week, where we'll have a conversation with one of the other incredible writers coming through Inspired. Hope you have a good week.